Hello, listeners. I'm Allie, and this is Quad Pro Quo. As always, I'm joined by my three co-hosts, Tammy.
Hello.
Matt.
Hello there.
And Guido.
Hi.
We are a film podcast inspired by the quid pro quo scene in Silence of the Lambs. Each month, we pick a theme, and each week, one of us picks a movie that falls within that theme. And we're starting the month of March, which is Give Me Barrymore Month.
Ooh.
Which means we're all picking a movie with Drew Barrymore.
Damn.
Not Lionel Barrymore.
She deserves it. She's
what
more
about
talented.
John or Ethel. But before we get to my pick, we showed your son Alien today.
We did. He was thrilled, but not scared. But he has said multiple times that it was a very good movie and he really liked it.
That's fine.
That's fine.
You don't have to be scared of it. I think it's scary.
That was my goal.
Also,
I don't really want to scare him.
I do.
I want him to appreciate, and it is a quieter movie at some point, so I was worried he was going to get bored.
You wanted to show him Alien or The Thing, and I was like, well, to be completely honest with you, like, I think The Thing would be a little more traumatizing for a 10-year-old to see, with all the like the creatures like mutating out of stuff and like dogs being ripped apart.
It's grotesque.
Oh, yeah.
So
the dog being ripped apart would upset him.
Dog is upsetting. Well,
it's upsetting for everyone. Yeah.
It is upsetting.
That's something you definitely can't unsee. So
Maybe
we go to Poltergeist for level 2.
Apparently, he has no problem with things popping out of stuff. So
That's true.
Don't you just show him the Bone Temple so he could just see Samson just popping out of places?
His wiener? His giant wiener?
That guy doesn't pop out of anything.
No. He enters dick
first.
He
explodes through it.
It's like a chest burster, just looking at that.
Oh my gosh. Terrifying.
I can still hear it slap his thigh. It's gross.
We showed Tammy and Guido 28 years later the Bone Temple.
It was good.
It was really good.
I think it's the second best in the series. When the Bone Temple came out, they interviewed Danny Boyle because he didn't direct it. Nia DaCosta did. And he said that women are better at directing horror because they live with it every day. Basically.
Oh.
Yes. Shoulder pads. Horrific.
Awful.
Periods are horrific.
No, that's just natural. Oh, what about pants without pockets? Horrific.
Small pockets.
That is scary. That would be a horror movie for me. The man without pockets in his pants. Directed by Guillermo del Toro.
You know what my horror movie is? Washing a man's pants with pockets that have pens in them. That's
you
my
motherfucker.
Horror.
Is that what you did?
Hey, look, I got carpenter.
Why you got so many pens in there, man?
Bottle caps.
Why are there
nickels?
So many bottle caps in there?
Specifically nickels?
Yes, it seems to be nickels mostly.
Are you just collecting shiny things?
Well,
like a crow?
I mean,
you're a
you
niffler.
Know,
well, also before we get to my pick, I have some Drew Barrymore facts for everybody.
Are they fun facts?
They're so fun. Drew Blythe Barrymore, that is her full name. So she was born on February 22nd, 1975 in Culver City, California.
Hey!
Oh my goodness,
that's where I live.
That's where Guido is
Did
from.
You?
Yeah.
So her mom was John Barrymore and her sister was Jade. Or her mom was Jade Barrymore and her dad was John Barrymore.
Jade?
J-A-I-D.
Oh, so not like the movie.
It's very exotic.
No, not like the movie. Her first job was a dog food commercial at 11 months old. She wasn't the dog.
Whoa, that was fast.
Well, I'm just letting... I knew
really
it was going to happen. We knew
Whoa.
It was going to happen.
Wow, have a little faith.
No, I could see your mind's just like waiting to jump in.
We were salivating.
Uh-huh.
Salivating.
So she then had a small film role in Altered States, and then she played Gertie in E.T., the extraterrestrial, which was her... Steven Spielberg is also her godfather. Sophia Loren is her godmother, Guido.
What an amazing godmother.
I know, right?
Oh,
so
Sophia,
smart.
I would treat you so nicely.
So Barrymore endured a notoriously troubled childhood. It doesn't help that her parents divorced when she was very young and her mom used her to get into clubs like Studio 54. And she was basically doing coke with Andy Warhol and, you know.
Smoking cigarettes with Stephen King.
No one here would do anything different.
I wouldn't
exploit my child to...
Hold on a second.
Celebrity.
It's great cocaine. And...
It was probably really good cocaine.
Andy Warhol.
And it was Studio 54. Oh, my gosh.
She was like 5 years old.
She was so young.
Okay, so there's a ball pit.
And then
leave her in the fucking ball pit.
She ended up doing drugs at
Mommy
what,
needs to go to Studio 50 whore.
Was she like 8 when she did drugs for the first time?
So she was placed in rehab at 13. That was her first rehab stint.
For what?
Coke.
For drugs.
Coke. Alcohol.
Listen, when you get the best stuff,
She spent 18 months at Van Nuys Behavioral Health Hospital, an institution for the mentally ill, and then a suicide attempt at 14. So sad. Put her back in rehab, followed by a 3-month stay with singer David Crosby and his wife.
How
is that supposed to help?
She turned her life around. She never lost her kindness and her loveliness, and she posed for Playboy.
Hot.
Amazing titties. She flashed David Letterman. Always has been kind of a Pisces. Creative and...
Wild child
and lives in fantasy world. She has her own production company titled Flower Films. She has been married 3 times. Jeremy Thomas in 1994. That lasted 19 days. Tom Green in 2001. That lasted 5 months.
So that's a lot more than 19 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Will Kopelman in 2012, which lasted about 4 years. And that marriage produced her children, which is Olive Barrymore and Frankie Barrymore.
Not familiar with an Olive Berry, I guess.
Really. And now she has her own show and
really
still
dropped
doing
the ball.
Stuff.
Should have named one Frank, the other one Beans.
Frank and Beans Barrymore.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Good stuff.
What about Juan and Ottawan?
I love the name Olive. I think it's so cute. She has a prolific dating history. Justin Long. Remember she was dating Fabrizio Moretti for a long time, the drummer for the Strokes.
The Strokes.
Luke Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tiny Tim.
I don't think Tiny Tim.
Little Mo with the gimpy legs.
God, you and these Home Alone references are great sometimes. They really are. This is it. Don't get scared now. Oh, man. So good.
That was so good
when we were watching the Bone Temple.
And he's getting ready for the big thing. Oh. And Ralph Fiennes is just standing there. And Tammy just goes, this is it. Don't get scared now.
So good.
We fucking lost it.
It was so funny.
Really sucked us out of the movie, Tams.
Yeah.
I try. Every so often.
Okay. But the movie I have chosen for Give Me Barrymore Month was released on December 20th. 1996.
A Christmas movie.
I know. Directed by Wes Craven, written by Kevin Williamson, starring Neve Campbell, Courtney Cox, David Arquette, and for 12 minutes, Drew Barrymore.
Hey, I've seen this one before.
Minutes. No,
this
you haven't.
Classic.
This is Scream.
No, we watched that one.
No, we watched Scream 5.
No, you said it was called Scream.
Wait, there's another Scream named Scream?
There's another Scream named Scream.
Yes, that's the one we've also watched, but that was Scream 5.
If I look at a list of these movies, are two movies named Scream?
Yes, technically. Yeah.
That's fucking wild. Okay.
And they make fun of it in Scream 5.
I would hope they do.
Yeah, remember we talked about it.
Around the room, have you ever seen Scream? Tammy?
Yes.
Did you see it? No. I was going to say, did you see it in theaters?
No,
but you're younger
than
me, so you wouldn't have known.
Oh, you didn't go with your grandmother to see it?
No, not this one. No, I had seen this, and I was excited to watch it again. It had been a while.
Matt? Well, you're married to me, so yes.
Yes.
Guido?
Oh, yeah. So when I was a teenager, I came across this movie on HBO and I fast-forwarded through it, realized there's no boobs, and then I watched something else.
There are no boobs in any Scream movie, really.
I'm just telling the truth.
I know.
The only boobs in it are us for watching it.
Oh, goodness. So Wes Craven also did A Nightmare on Elm Street, Last House on the Left, your favorite music movie with Meryl Streep.
Music from the Heart.
Beautiful. Kevin Williamson, most famous for Dawson's Creek. He also did I Know What You Did Last Summer, so technically qua pro quo alum. We know Neve Campbell from Party of Five, The Craft, Never Aging, technically. Courtney Cox, obviously Friends. David Arquette, qua pro quo alum for Never Been Kissed. Another Drew Barrymore movie.
Oh my God.
Yes. And Drew Barrymore, yet again.
You skip
the hot one.
Oh, Tatum? Oh, I'm sorry.
Rose
no, he just wants me to say Skeet.
No.
Skeet Ulrich?
No, I didn't want you to say Skeet.
You didn't?
I did not.
What do you want me to say then?
I wanted you to mention the man that jumped a shark.
Oh, the Fonz.
I wanted you to mention Henry Winkler.
Technically, he's uncredited in this movie, so.
That's bullshit. Yeah. Saving this for later. I fail this because Henry Winkler is uncredited.
Yeah, and he's not very funny either. So serious.
Well, this movie had a
principal.
He's an overactor.
Principal Himbry. Budget of $15 million. Box office of $173 million. Horror movies make money.
Not a single titty.
No, I know. And 78% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Nice.
78%.
Solid.
I know. It's great.
I mean... It's a romp.
Well,
that's one way of putting it.
We start out in Woodsboro, California. The opening scene is Drew Barrymore's scene. Spoiler alert, she is the opening kill. Second kill, technically. First, her bubble butt boyfriend, Billy. Or not Billy. Steve gets disemboweled.
Straight gutted.
So Casey Becker, Drew Barrymore, in a questionable wig. First appearance of bangs.
Yo, they bang hard in this movie.
I like that wig on her.
It's a wig.
How do you know?
We just know.
Okay.
We know. She's home alone, and she receives a phone call from an unknown person.
And she's making Jiffy Pop.
She's making Jiffy Pop. Beautiful house. Architectural porn in this movie. The houses are gorgeous in this movie. I'm just going to say it.
This whole scene makes me nervous, not because of this phone call.
Because of the Jiffy Pop?
Because she leaves the Jiffy Pop on the stove.
And she's distracted.
Away.
She's on fire.
God forbid she forgets about the Jiffy Pop while she's talking to some psychopath
so upset about the fire.
It's very scary. Yes.
I feel bad for her brother who's trying to play online video games the whole time, but she's taking up the fucking internet line.
There you go. So they discuss horror. What's your favorite scary movie?
The Babadook.
Babadook. Gross. She says Nightmare on Elm Street, and he says, I like the first one. She's like, yeah, but the rest all sucked. What, Nightmare on Elm Street, obviously directed by Wes Craven. He actually didn't want that in the movie because he thought people would think he was full of himself. The phone call turns less flirtatious and more sadistic when she says, why do you want to know my name? And he says, I want to know who I'm looking at. And then switches to, I want to know who I'm talking to. And she gets scared immediately. You know, there's only one phone, a very large cordless phone. She's getting ready to watch a movie. Phones,
because the one she was on the kitchen phone.
She was on that. Yes, you're right.
And then with the Jiffy Pop, and then
she switched to wireless, 900 megahertz.
So then he keeps calling, and she's gets up. She's upset. She's crying. The popcorn is burning.
Ugh.
She picks up the phone and says, listen, asshole. And he said, no, listen, you little bitch. Hang up on me again and I'll gut you like a fish. And she's very scared. So
like
scared.
A fish.
And then there's doorbell ringing. She's shouting, who's there? He says, you should never say who's there. You might as well just go outside to investigate a strange noise or something. These two. Mm-hmm. Just so annoyed on the side of the room.
I'm going to get my boyfriend who's a big football player to kick your ass.
That's what she says. And he says, his name wouldn't have to be Steve, would it?
Uh-oh.
And then she turns on the patio lights. He is duct taped. They duct tape people's mouths so tight in this movie. I don't know how they faked that. I feel like those poor people really had duct tape on their mouths. That type, because it just is like digging into their skin.
You know,
that guy was in Blade.
He was,
yeah.
Oh,
he was the police officer that was Vampire's familiar that the lady like shot with mace.
Interesting.
And then Wesley Snipes beat the shit out of him.
Oh, she has this awesome pool, great house, awesome backyard. They have to play a game, movie trivia. Otherwise, Steve gets it. So she gets the first question right. Who was the killer in Halloween? Michael Myers. Very easy. Everybody knows that.
But
the second question, who's the killer in Friday the 13th? She jumps the gun and says Jason. Now, that is correct, but not until the second.
Maybe
she didn't see the first.
The second, yeah.
No, he didn't show up till the third one. Mrs. Voorhees killed.
No, he doesn't wear. No, he doesn't wear the hockey mask until the third one.
Head.
In the second one, he wears like a scarecrow bag face.
Her head is decapitated in the first one.
Yeah,
there's no coming back from that.
Michael Myers does there? All
how many
the time.
Times, how many times did Jason get decapitated and he came back?
We've done a movie called Halloween H2O where Michael Myers got decapitated and he came back. So
yeah, no water involved either.
True. But she gets it wrong. And he says, I'm sorry, but Steve is out. And then we hear like, and then she turns on the patio light and Steve has been disemboweled.
Everything he had for dinner is spilled out onto the front of him. You can see this like carrots
sausages
and corn.
Everywhere. It's pretty gross.
I think I saw some ringdings in there.
Ringdings and some Funyuns?
Funyuns, man.
So then she gets to the next question. And he says, what door am I at? Terrible grammar. You shouldn't end a sentence in a preposition.
Ooh!
So she says she won't answer. A chair comes flying through the patio door. She runs.
Well, that answers what Dorio was at.
But he was ringing the front door like 2 minutes earlier, so, you know.
Mm.
Uh-huh. She runs to the kitchen. Popcorn is on fire. Smoke alarm has not gone off yet, though, which is, what are we going to do?
It's a lie.
I'm going to say this. I'm going to preface. Wes Craven has continuity errors in his movie, okay? I'm going to talk about the real big one that gets me every time in the next minute or so.
Maybe this house just has really high ceilings.
That's true.
Cathedral ceilings.
I'm just trying to give Wes the benefit of the doubt. I know. Love the guy. He did music from the heart.
Yeah. So she grabs a butcher knife out of the block. And she goes out like the side of the house. There's a lot of doors in this house. And she sees her parents' car coming up. They live in like a fucking vineyard. It's like really far from town. How does
she know it's her parents?
She can see them. Who else would through the bush. Like,
yeah, because her boyfriend's already there. So it wouldn't be her boyfriend. So who else would be coming up to her house?
Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah, and he's already died. So
yeah, exactly.
By being disemboweled.
So she's running, trying to get to her parents. Ghostface crashes through the window, tackles her, stabs her right in like the boob, the one boob. Yeah,
it didn't look like it was a hard stab. It was like he placed the knife gently into her like.
Well,
chest.
It was in slow mo.
He was just like,
is that why? You think it was because it was in slow-mo?
Was it slow-mo? I don't know.
It was.
It wasn't. I mean, you know, you know what a stabbing motion is.
True.
We all know a stabbing motion.
But he's trying to stab her while she's running.
But it was more like a poke. He poked her with a knife.
Gotcha. She on her back. He's on top of her. She kind of like swats him away and he slams her right in the neck with, what is it? What knife is it?
Oh, that's a K-bar.
Okay.
It's a very large fighting knife and I have one. I'll bring it later.
Okay.
But I'll be outside.
This is the continuity error. She gets up. There is no puncture wound on her neck. She falls down on the porch trying to yell for her parents, and she can't because he's obviously cut her vocal cords pretty much. And then she falls down, still no puncture wound in her neck at all.
Mom!
Yeah. And the parents go into the house. They see that there's smoke everywhere. The patio door is shattered.
Their pets' heads are falling off.
Yep.
Yeah.
The mom runs in, takes the Jiffy Pop off the stove, puts it in the sink, turns the water on. So you're good. We're good. We're good.
Then the fire alarm goes off.
Then the dad's like, no, don't look out the back, because he obviously went and saw the gutted boyfriend.
This is a good scream.
Oh, it's fabulous. So she goes to call the mom. She goes to call the police, but Casey still has the phone in her hand and it's still on, so she can hear Drew Barrymore or Casey like
gurgling
and like, mom, help me. And then the line cuts. And then the dad says, get in the car, drive down to the McKenzies, which is the same line that Jamie Lee Curtis says to the children in the first Halloween movie.
I like that.
Yes. And then I believe in one of the other Halloween movies, the kids are instructed to leave and go to the Beckers, which is the name of Drew Barrymore's character in this movie. So there's always that little back and forth connection.
It's just a movie Dutch rudder, isn't it?
Yeah. So she goes out, the mom goes outside, screams her head off.
Good scream.
And then the camera turns. She gets good scream. Drew Barrymore is hanging from a tree and has been disemboweled, and her gutsy guts are floating and steamy. Must be cold that night.
She's got those hot guts. He rearranged them good, didn't he?
Yeah. Then we get the scream. So that's the that's the opening kill. Now, people were shocked by this. Drew Barrymore is a big actress. Who would kill Drew Barrymore in the first 12 minutes of a movie?
Alfred Hitchcock.
Not a teenager.
Yes. Janet Leigh makes it longer in Psycho. But that's also the reason that she wanted to do the movie. She did not want to be in the entire movie. She was like, I'll just do the first part. And then that's it.
He did her dirty.
She did great.
She did great.
And arguably one of the most memorable parts of horror history, slasher film history. Everyone remembers it. It's also very graphic.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Even by today's standards, disemboweling people, you still don't really see it that often. It's a lot. Hanging a girl from a tree.
Yeah, I imagine getting all those like beef organs. You gotta you gotta sell it.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. And then you get to, but there's only one way you get to hear that sound of the guts spilling out. You know what I mean? The squidgy.
We meet Sydney Prescott, played by Neve Campbell. So I think she is so cute in this movie. The freckles, the bangs.
She's supposed to be virginal.
The wispy bangs, Guido. Do you have comments on these bangs, on hers?
She doesn't exist. It's just bangs. And then there's a human attached to her bangs. But the bangs, they're controlling the human host.
We also meet her boyfriend, Billy Loomis, played by Skeet Ulrich, who also has bangs. They are greasy.
He looks unclean.
He also looks like he's probably a fucking spree killer.
What?
Or he doesn't have shampoo.
Right away? Yes, I did.
It's just conditioner.
With his fucking rat face. With his little.
He jumps through her window. They do a little on top of the clothes action. But, you know, she has some issues since her mother was killed the year before, and she can't seem to have sex with her greasy-haired rat-faced boyfriend. But she does show him her titties. We don't see them. He does.
He did originally say we were
shame.
He was like, we were pretty hot and heavy to begin with. Mm-hmm. And they started playing the saxophone.
There's also a cover of Don't Fear the Reaper playing in the background.
That makes me wanna fuck.
Yeah.
A slow version.
Yeah. Then we're at the
cowbell.
Oh, we also meet her dad, who says that he's going to a conference. He's leaving her home alone. He's going to be at the Hilton by the airport. Here's some money.
Can we take some time to talk about how hot Rose McGowan is?
I mean, so we meet Rose McGowan, who plays Tatum, which is Sydney's best friend, next day at high school. The news is everywhere, including somebody with insane highlights and more bangs, Courtney Cox, who plays Gail Weathers. Now, Rose McGowan is amazing in this movie.
She's a good BFF.
I love her short skirts. I love her style.
And her long jacket?
Not her long jacket. She tells Sydney what happened, how they were killed, and she says, you know, Dewey, my brother, who's also a deputy, he says it's the worst murders anyone's seen since, and then stops because the year before, Sydney's mother was killed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot.
Yeah.
How could I forget?
Yes. I'm also like, yeah, I'm assuming this would be one of the worst murders since there were two when they were teenagers and they were disemboweled. That's actually pretty worse than the Sydney's mother being killed.
Absolutely gutted.
Gutted. As we find out later, her mom was kind of a, as Skeet Ulrich says, a slutbag whore who flashes her shit all over town like she's Sharon Stone or something.
Well, that's wow, very that rude sounds comment.
Like a, something like an asshole or a murderer.
They mentioned Sharon Stone quite a few times. It's a sign of the time.
Dated.
Then we get a scene where basically all the kids who knew Casey are called into the principal's office to talk to the sheriff and the deputy, who's played by David Arquette, Deputy Dewey. Principal Henry, who is inappropriately and touches her face for some reason, not sure why, is played by the Fonz.
I really enjoy, if I may take a moment, whoever did the audio mix for this movie was paid in crackers.
Why?
Or snacks. Because why? You see 50 fucking students, you hear in the background four, maybe five, and they're discussing Dungeons & Dragons or some other bullshit. You only hear a fraction of the people you see on screen.
Well,
and then,
yeah.
And then all the B-roll, like, music is just so 1996. It was
so good. So you want to hear all of the students talking over the main characters who are having conversations?
No.
This isn't a Robert Altman
movie. If they're going to put it in there for immersion's sake, the audio mix is off. It's so off down a hallway.
Cool.
I can't be alone.
Thank cool you story, for bro. Your,
So Sydney's going to spend the weekend at Tatum's house. And we get, again, gorgeous house. The decks, babe. I was pointing out. I was like, look at these levels of decks at her house.
Multiple deck levels.
She had a party deck.
Had a party deck.
Which
deck?
Apparently,
is her house the house?
Apparently, we're not allowed to have.
She had a couch in her kitchen. That's the sign of a rich person, a.k.a. Steve's parents.
Why can't you have a party deck?
We're not allowed.
Okay, first of all, you need to explain to people what you think a party deck is.
A deck on top of a deck.
A deck on top of a deck.
He wants a two-tier deck.
No. Yeah.
Where are you?
He wants a double decker.
Where are you going to exit the top tier of your deck?
Thank you.
With the fucking stairs, Tammy. Spiral ones.
This is the same kind of rationale with your underground tunnel, friendship tunnel.
Oh, did you hear the new bullshit that they want to do now?
You never told me.
You can do like a deer platform.
We're going to have, in the middle, we're going to have a room called a scheming parlor. No one's got one of those. And where will we hatch our schemes? In the scheming parlor.
Is that where you make your farts?
No, that's where we have our we plan our heists.
Hatch our scheme.
Sounds like a
you know what? No girls allowed.
You circle jerk rotunda.
A sweatshop.
You're not.
The bullshit idea.
Sweat.
I get a text.
We're gonna have globes full of scotch.
Dutch rudder oubliette.
When they're cutting up the tree, I guess when they were done cutting up the tree, I get a text from Steve. Guido wants to know what you think about putting a koi pond where that tree went.
No, Guido didn't. Steve is flying his own bullshit there.
And then
buddy.
I'm like, I even said, I'm like, why the fuck are you asking me?
Don't you live here?
Why would you want to put a koi pond all the way back there?
Yeah, no one can see it.
It's Steve's idea.
No,
I thought he was concerned about erosion.
He was all over the fucking place today.
He was like, yeah, you get a quit. And I'm like, why are you again? Why are you asking me?
I don't know why he was so creative.
He was like, well, don't you live here? I'm like, yeah, but really, you run the idea by Allie and Tammy. You don't run the idea by me.
Yeah, he was like, don't you think Matt would like it? I was like, yeah, Matt would love that. Let me tell you, he will do nothing to help.
Exactly.
He would love to enjoy a koi pond.
I don't want one.
We don't sit over there.
I don't want one.
Yet.
I don't want to have anything to do with putting a koi pond.
And we're going to have a walkway. It's going to be nice.
I would rather.
This is your idea.
No.
I would rather have the underground friendship tunnel.
That'll really help with the resale of our properties.
Yeah.
No, we don't tell anyone. It's a bonus.
So weird.
If you
it's a bonus.
An underground.
Yeah.
Would you go down there?
People find. Yeah. We watched a movie. It's called Barbarian.
Yeah.
Bubba.
Or like the Amityville Horror.
Yes.
Find that little room.
Gosh.
It's hell.
Terrifying.
It's a gateway to hell.
We're gonna have to put the sign on it that says Scheming Parlor.
Yes, because that's not
Friendship
scary.
Tunnel.
Friendship Tunnel, level not a barbarian a. situation or gateway gotcha. To hell.
So while Sydney is waiting for Tatum to show up, takes a little nappy and answers the phone, and it is Ghostface. She thinks it's Randy, Jamie Kennedy.
Who looks poor like Jamie a baby. Kennedy.
He looks so
No, no
young.
Poor Jamie Kennedy. He was in The Son of the Mask. Fuck him.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of him either.
Kids like it.
So she thinks
Kids
it's
like
Jamie.
Kids like a lot of stupid shit.
So she thinks it's Randy. Randy loves movies, works at the video store, so she thinks he's trying to be like silly. And she says how she doesn't watch scary movies because they're all the same. Some dumb girl with big breasts who should Listen. Be going out the front door, but instead runs up the stairs. She calls his bluff. She says, I don't think you're on my front porch. She goes out there, kind of antagonizes him a little bit by picking her nose. And then he says, if you hang up on me, you're going to die just like your mother.
Ooh,
not cool.
Not cool.
She
Possibly
goes,
Skeet
she's
Ulrich.
Upset. She runs into the house, locks the door, and Ghostface springs out of the hall closet. They're
like
fighting.
Like literally springs out?
He does.
Like a jack in a box?
Yep, absolutely. They're fighting. He then slams her head into the floor, which just always looks like it hurts so much.
Floors are hard.
Yeah. Then she can't get out the front door, so she runs upstairs.
Dumb bitch. Oh.
Didn't she just say that to him on the phone? Like,
yes.
She never understood why.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
Yeah.
That's what a Scream movie is. Then she tries to contact 911 through her computer by messaging them. Ghostface can't get into her room because her closet door perfectly like hinges up against the door of her room, so he can't actually like get in because it's kind of like a push pull, whatever. And then Billy, greasy rat face bastard boyfriend, jumps through the window.
Thank goodness. Still think it's him.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
And then a cellular phone falls out of his pocket, and his boots look very much like the ones that Ghostface wears.
Oh.
Yep.
So
and
it's
he has
probably
a
him.
Cellular telephone.
Do you think it was him or do you think it was the other one?
What?
I think
one?
They're both there.
I do too.
Spoiler alert, there's two killers.
You spoiled this?
I think he was on the phone and the other one was in the closet waiting.
Fair.
I'm sorry I spoiled this 30-year-old movie.
20.
No. He's 30 because Wiley was born in 95.
It's 2026. Yeah, 30 years.
I'm so old.
Yeah. Well, it'll be 30 years in December, technically. So she gets scared because she thinks it's him. She runs. They arrest Billy. They take him to the police station. She goes with them. And we, again, meet Gail. She's a bitch. Her cameraman is from Something About Mary.
Have you seen my baseball?
That guy. Yeah, I didn't realize that either. And I've seen this movie so many times.
Don't touch his ears, okay?
Ghostface. Did not.
And they get to, then we get to the police station and they're kind of interrogating Billy and his dad is there and he's like, why do you have a cellular? I just love how they keep saying cellular phone.
Dated.
Why do you have a cellular telephone?
Why do you have a Motorola Razor?
Everyone's got one, Sheriff. I'm like, not in 96 they didn't.
The killer didn't just call from the local payphone?
Yeah. Tatum comes to get her, embarrasses Dewey in front of everybody. They take her back to her house. Before they get to the house, there's a little altercation outside of the police station because Gail Weathers is like, I want to interview you. And Gail Weathers wrote a very disparaging book after Sydney's mom died, saying that Sydney lied on the stand and Cotton Weary, first movie, by the way, of Liev Schreiber, even though you only see him on TV within the movie. So she says, when's the book come out? And Gail says, oh, I'll send you a copy. And then Sydney punches her in the face. It's pretty
in
awesome.
The face.
In the face.
Boy,
she's
it was a good shot, too.
It was. Yeah.
She has a punchable face.
And then back at Tatum's house, she gets another call from Ghostface. And he says, like, ooh, looks like you got the wrong guy. Again.
Looks like you got the
again,
wrong guy.
Again, he says, though.
What could that mean, Matt?
The next day at school, she goes to apologize to Gail, who has a little bit of a shiner. Gail says, like, I think you falsely accused him. He was banging your mom. Because she's a big hua. You know, she's like, I saw him leave wearing his jacket. She says, no, you saw someone leave. You didn't see his face. You have no idea if it was him. It could have been anyone wearing this jacket. You can kind of see in her face, like, it's like, oh, no, murdered my mom.
I think you have a point there, Gail.
She's just a bag of bones, man. She doesn't look like she sleeps comfortably.
I don't think she looks
she's
incredibly skinny in this
angular.
One. Scream 3 is...
I'm surprised Ned Campbell didn't harsh.
Scream 3, she's like dust. Then there's some kids like wearing the ghost face masks running through the hallways. Henry Matthew Winkler. Lillard, a.k.a. Stu Mocker, thinks it's hilarious.
It's not cool.
They get expelled. Henry Winkler basically assaults them with the sharpest pair of scissors I've ever seen in a movie.
You can hear it.
Yeah.
Every time he goes,
sharp.
Swing, swing, swing.
Yeah.
Well, that's because, inappropriate. Remember, the audio was picked.
That's the fucking audio, dude. I'm telling you, it's the just some audio. Guy in a parking lot.
The loudest
two
scissors.
Sticks. Smacking them together like, you're getting this, Bill? You're getting it? We need this for a big bunch of movie.
Let's do it again, guys.
Swing, swing. This just sounds like scissors, right? Swing, swing.
Hey, you guys want to go play D&D later?
It was only $15 million. Then there's a little incident in the bathroom. Apparently, Ghostface just waits in the first stall of women's rooms on the potential that Sydney's going to come in. P.S. That cheerleader that's in the bathroom was dating Skeet Ulrich at the time. She was a bitch. Maybe she's a slut, just like her mother.
Maybe she's a slut, just like her mother. Meanest, hey, you guys want to play D&D later?
She really did.
Yeah, you hear it in the background.
I'm going to be a wizard this time.
Wizard.
Level 3.
I'm going to sell my
swing. Oh, nat 20. Nice.
Then classes are suspended because of the incidents that happened on campus. And what do you do when there's a spree killer on the loose and classes are canceled? You throw a fucking rager.
And you have a curfew.
Party.
Yeah, and there's a curfew. So let's have a party. So Stu, a.k.a. Matthew Lillard, is going to throw a party at his parents' house. Awesome house.
Where do we know Matthew Lillard?
Scooby-Doo.
Nice.
And he's in Can't Hardly Wait.
He's in She's All
he's
That.
In She's All That.
Yeah.
She's
Quentin
All That.
Tarantino hates him.
Well, Quentin Tarantino can kick rocks with open-toed shoes.
He's in SLC Punk.
SLC Punk.
Where's Gary Busey's kid when you need him? You know what I mean? He could easily have done it.
Jake Busey is in another Drew Barrymore movie.
Shut up.
Yes. Home Fries.
Oh, I thought you were...
What is that about?
Oh, yeah.
Is that about breakfast?
With Luke Wilson.
With Luke Wilson.
She's pregnant in it.
She eats a lot of home fries.
She works at like a Dairy Queen. She's so cute in that movie. That movie's not good, but she's adorable in it. She's so cute.
She gets stuck in a Walmart.
It's that's kind of like a long, it's, but it's not like, it's, yeah.
You watch that movie?
No.
America's Nation.
What? Places of the, what's it called? Places of the Heart?
Yeah, something like that.
Ooh, America's Nation.
America's Nation.
Riding in the car with
40?
Boys.
Oh, man. 40. So good.
The names were so terrible.
The names were wild. They were Joan Cusack.
Was anyone named Skeet?
Mom, or the
manager.
Skeeter.
Yeah. No, Sally Field's the mom.
Yeah, and then who's the woman that takes her in?
Ashley Judd.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, that's her friend.
Oh, the woman in the trailer park?
Yeah.
That's Rizzo from Grease.
Yes.
Stalker Channing.
Yes.
What
yes.
an ensemble cast.
Yeah,
she's got big hips in that movie.
Yes.
I'm listening.
Yes.
Big hips.
Mm.
No. You know who else has big hips? Rose McGowan.
Yes, she does.
Yes.
I'll tell you where Beautiful. She can put them.
And in this scene where they're getting ready for the party, she's wearing like these red, really skin tight jeans and this silver crop top with like a number on it, which is the exact same crop top shirt that Johnny Depp wore when he got sucked into the bed in the first Nightmare on Elm Street.
Holy Yay. Shit.
Yes.
They wear each other's clothes.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
So they're supposed to bring food.
Did she also poop in his bed?
I don't know. Did he poop in? Oh, his wife did. That's
I
right.
heard
That's
her
right.
did it.
Principal Himbry, he's in his office. Someone's playing a prank on him. He goes out to the hallway and there's a custodian named Fred, dressed like Freddy Krueger, aka that is Wes Craven.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he says, not you, Fred, and he's obviously dressed like Freddy Krueger, and Freddy Krueger was a custodian. And when he comes back in, he opens up his wardrobe that's in his principal's office, and I don't know if you caught this, but the leather jacket that the Fonz wore is in that closet.
Cute.
Adorbs. Hey. And then he gets stabbed with those very sound effect-y knives, or not the scissors. Does he get stabbed with the scissors?
Shwing,
I just
shwing,
think he
shwing,
gets stabbed with
shwing.
The scissors.
Hey, I'm going to play D&D this weekend. I want to be a wizard.
Can you be the Fonz in D&D?
Sure.
Great. There you go.
He's probably a bard.
Then there's a little conversation between Tatum. They're sitting on this gorgeous wraparound front porch of this Victorian home. And Tatum says, like, maybe the rumors about your mom being a big whore are true. Because that's exactly what you tell to your friend who lost her mom from being stabbed.
It's called tough love, Allie.
Yeah. And she says, you know, maybe your dad's always traveling. Maybe your mom's unhappy. Also, you can only hear that Richard Gere gerbil story so many times.
It's true, though.
Before you have to start. I'm like, no one actually believes that. These two do, I'm sure.
I absolutely believe that man put a gerbil in his asshole.
It's still there.
There are other ways to stimulate the prostate. Fingers.
Yeah, but if you could just have it, do it.
The rumor that both Rod Stewart and Nicki Minaj filleted 40 men that they had to get
in a row.
Nicki Minaj has that rumor now too.
She was the one that inherited it from Rod Stewart.
Rod Stewart had to get his stomach pumped because he blew all his roadies.
Yeah,
yeah.
How do you know that?
Everyone knows that.
I was there.
So there's a curfew. The town's closing early. We get the song by Nick Cave
and the Peaky Blinders theme.
Yes, exactly. Can't wait
from
to hear
Dumb
that.
From Dumb and Dumber.
Five more times.
It's a good song.
Well, I mean,
Nick Cave and the Bad
change
Seeds.
Change your picks for the next.
Nope, not doing that. There's a funny little, which this will come back in Scream 2. There's a funny little thing where they say, like, ooh, if they make a movie about you, who's going to play you? And she says they'll probably cast Tori Spelling, which in the Scream 2, they actually do cast Tori Spelling in the Stab movie.
I like
Tori Spelling.
Who
does she play in that?
She plays Sydney.
That sucks.
Yeah. And Luke Wilson played Billy.
Well, at least he doesn't look like a killer at the very beginning of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Skeet.
So then we get some police talk that the phone calls came from Sydney's father's phone.
Uh-oh.
Inside the house?
And that he's not at the hotel that he said he was going to be at.
That's incriminating.
He's missing.
And he's missing. They can't find him. What a twist.
What a twist.
If only they could call him.
So then, because apparently no one in this town cares about the teenagers, including the police, Dewey actually drives Sydney and his sister to this house party where alcohol is. Yep. Everyone's under 18.
You pry that vacuum.
I've never understood. I mean, I love it. You know, this movie was originally going to be called Scary Movie.
Really?
Yeah, the original name for this movie was called Scary Movie. And then, obviously, they used it for the parody.
I enjoy how this movie is, you know, the beer supply is sponsored by the police.
Yes.
That's really nice of them.
Well, he also said in that scene where she runs to the bathroom, he's like, God, she runs like a doofus. I'm like, yeah, in the Scary Movie, Anna Faris is like, like running down the hallway, tearing like her arms in the wild.
I said she was the second worst runner I've ever seen, second only to the daughter in Taken.
Or Sylvester Stallone in Cobra.
I watched this movie and then Scary Movie came on after it.
Oh, Scary Movie is so...
Scary Movie 3 is really good.
To be honest, Scary Movie 2 I think is better than the first one because of the Take My Strong Hand.
I
don't need your help. I'll do it myself.
I think that's what I saw with my mom in the theater.
You he, like sucks
what?
His own dick.
I know.
That guy sucks his own dick.
David Cross.
She doesn't remember. She's like, oh, that movie was disgusting.
So they're watching some Jamie Lee Curtis. Lots of food. Booze.
A Fish Called Wanda?
No. Oh. Prom Night. Terror Train, Halloween. David Arquette shows up with Gail Weathers.
I do have to say,
they're into each other.
I really did love...
She's a predator.
I really did love that one scene that they had together. Like, their chemistry was quite good in this.
Oh, when she's like, does the law require you to work out?
She's like, oh, you're probably not my demographic. I'm number one with 18 to 24-year-olds. And then he just turns around and is like, I'm 25 now. I was 24 for a whole year.
They are kind of cute. I'm not going to lie. I remember when they first got together, I was like, this is so fucking weird.
It's gross. She groomed him. She kept tabs on him. She left town.
Mm.
And she goes, that little boy's going to be a little
Is she a lot older than him?
No.
Yeah, by like 15 years.
No,
and then,
she's not.
Yeah, absolutely. So if he's 25, then, you know, she's easily 50 here.
Okay. Oh, wow.
And
Shut up.
She looks okay for 50.
She hides it well with her face. She changes it a lot.
So she puts a...
She did get clocked in the eye by Sydney.
Yeah.
She's like Mombi.
She gets punched in almost every one of these movies. So she puts a hidden camera right above the VCR because no one's going to see it, even though they're putting VHS tapes into this VHS player like every 2 hours. But
Dated.
Tatum is asked to go get beer. And we get the now famous shot of her opening that door and woohoo, Ooh, is it cold? Oh, titties.
So nice. She's stunning.
I also love this skirt. She's wearing that orange, yes, like, rain. Oh, I love it. And she's wearing these white boots and this green top. And yeah, she's got titties for days. They're very so 96. Good.
It's Hot she, Girl 96. She's got like kind 100%. Of
like a, almost like a Daphne from Scooby-Doo hair going. Like it's flipped out at the
she
end.
She looks so cute.
She's so cute and also hot.
She only looked better in Jawbreaker.
So she goes to get beer. Cat runs by.
Never go by yourself.
Never.
She gets. They said that in the last one.
I know. This fifth one. I know.
Wait.
I know we're out of order here. She tries to get in. The door's locked. She opens the garage door and it stops and she turns around and Ghostface is there. And she thinks it's Randy. Apparently Randy's just the biggest asshole. He'd be doing this sort of stuff. You know, she kind of does this little like, please don't kill me, Mr. Ghostface. First time we actually hear that. I want to be in the sequel. He pulls out a knife. The K-bar.
Yes.
Yes. And he cuts her forearm, which always looks like it really
hurts. Ouch.
Yeah.
No sequel for you.
They kind of fight. She throws beer bottles at him. Then she tries to get out the doggy door.
Strangely aroused, she climbs through the dog door and says, no, Mr. Ghostface, stop. I'm stuck.
She does get stuck. The titties get through, but those hips.
The womanly hips.
The womanly hips. They can't force through.
That's the same problem.
Ghostface raises the door and she gets smushed.
You know Guido fucking can how. Get through the dog door?
Ghostface didn't even fucking kill her. He just did it with the garage. It was laziness on his part, really.
Well, he had to go play D&D.
Yes. She goes to leave, or Sydney goes to leave, and then Billy shows up. And they go upstairs to talk.
Gator.
We're gonna do it.
And yeah, they end up fucking.
I talked to you with my penis. He dicks her down, and then, you know, they immediately regret it.
We also get the, now, like, pretty common in every Scream movie is a monologue by either Jamie Kennedy or someone related to Jamie Kennedy's character where he does the rules. Can't have sex. Cannot drink or do drugs.
It follows.
And never say, I'll be right back. Because you won't be right back. They're Unless watching the Halloween. Killer. Again, continuity errors with this. They're watching Halloween. Then they get the news that Principal Himbry has been hung from the goalpost on the football field and gutted. So all of the guys, including the two that got expelled earlier that day, are like, let's go before they cut him down. And then play D&D. They're drunk. They almost hit Dewey and Gale, who are walking along the road because a report of an abandoned vehicle was placed.
They went for a stroll and a shag.
They do some smoochies. And whose car is it? Sydney's father.
He gives her a mustache ride.
No, he's on top of her.
Well, he has a mustache.
It's such a lame one.
He's riding with a mustache.
We see the post-coital Sydney and Billy.
Yeah,
she uses somebody else's hairbrush to brush her hair, which is rude, in my opinion. I know, right?
It's a lot of hair down there.
And then she's kind of questioning...
If you could brush it, think about it. The fucking ponytails down her thighs. Okay.
Well, she hasn't gotten a lot of use out of it for a while. So she had to comb it away so he knew where to go.
she had to part it.
She put a little piece of cheese down there for him too with his little
fucking. Oh, because he's a rat.
A little fucking rat-faced bastard.
Little lantern so he could find his way, you know.
Is this like a Dungeons and Dragons thing?
No,
it's a like quest. It's a quest for cheese.
It's more like Lemmy Winks.
What's Lemmy Winks?
Lemmy Winks?
A gerbil who gets trapped inside an
Richard
asshole.
Gear's ass. It's a circle.
It's a South Park reference.
It's a circle.
Lemmy Winks, Lemmy Winks.
Oh, man.
You have to watch it and then you'll get it.
Okay.
It's terrible.
Well, I'm sure it is.
So terribly awesome.
Oh, my gosh. So Ghostface appears, stabs Billy, chases Sydney around the house. Oh, also, she makes it out to the news van where Have You Seen My Baseball guy is sitting, and he gets his throat slit.
He's like, oh, there's a delay, and he turns around. She just opens the fucking door, and then you get a throat slice.
Yes. So she runs. Dewey and Gale come back. She tries to start the car, but there's blood all over the windshield, and then the cameraman falls from the top. She drives off, almost hits Sydney, and then crashes. So we think that Gale's dead.
We wish
he's just some strong killers, man, throwing that fat guy up there.
Sydney comes back to the house. Dewey's been stabbed in the back. She takes his gun. Stu and Randy come out, and she's like, fuck you both. Locks herself in the house. Billy, alive, stumbles down the stairs. They let in Randy, and then he says, Stu's out there. He's gone mad. And then Billy turns around and says, we all go a little mad sometimes, and shoots Randy.
Like he's been planning on it.
That is a line from Psycho. Also, he says corn syrup, same thing they use for pig's blood in Carrie, which is also true, and it is corn syrup.
And he called out his own quote.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's meta.
A rat-faced little chode.
Fucking skeeter thing
and
to
so,
do.
And so... We know now Billy is the killer, but...
What do you mean, we?
Oh, Billy. Oh,
I'm sorry. The people who didn't figure it out from his rat face now know. And his greasy bangs. I apologize.
The guy doesn't wash himself.
Weird. Ken, it wasn't a rat face. He's just literally over there. Just always, when you look at him, he's just sitting there like, he's got a scheme. He's always scheming something.
Scheming and scheming.
He's always, ABS, always be scheming.
Mm. Yeah, dude, if I'm looking for a killer, it's definitely the guy that takes his showers in the retention pond out back.
I feel like he lives in a trailer park.
It's probably the same trailer park where what's-her-name from Bride of Chucky lives.
Yeah. Most likely.
She had a great bathroom in that trailer.
She did.
Well, she didn't let him use it because he was a wiener and he never killed anybody.
That isn't our cat.
Yeah.
That wasn't our cat.
Wasn't our cat. Now we have the second killer, who is Stu Mocker, Matthew Lillard.
Shaggy?
Funny fun.
Zoink Scoo!
He's over the fucking top.
Probably why Tarantino hates him.
He stepped right off the set of that nerd movie where they were all hackers.
Tarantino wanted to direct this movie.
Oh, that's why he doesn't like him.
It wasn't approached, though. And he's bad talked this movie for years, saying how he thinks like it's not good, and Wes Craven was like guilted into it. It's like, no, you're just pissed because you didn't get to direct it.
He's jealous.
Jealous of a $13 million slasher movie. Wow. And this was after he had made...
It's a very Quentin thing to do.
Speaking of rat faces.
Ew! Anywho,
so then we find out why they're doing this, and you can kind of see that, like, Stu is surprised when Billy said, oh, you want to know why we killed your mother? Because she was fucking my father, and she's the reason my mom left. And you can see Stu's face like,
oh, shit. Oh,
that's new information for me. I thought we were just doing it, you know, because we really care about movies.
Idiot.
They bring in the dad who they've had tied up, again, the duct tape. They're going to frame him, and they start to play this little stabby game, because there got to be survivors. You always have to have a survivor. Normally, it's a girl.
I'm getting a little woozy here.
Yeah.
You stabbed me too hard.
You
went too deep.
They say, stick to the...
Ghostface, what are you doing? You stabbed me too hard.
You stuck me. Stay to the sides and don't go too far in, is what they say.
Don't stick it in.
Is it in
always
yet?
Always hurts the first time.
You gotta spit on your knife first.
Ew.
They get distracted because Gail returns. She has the gun. She doesn't take the safety off, so she gets kicked. And then Billy does this weird neck crack thing, which I always thought was kind of hot. Kind of like what what's-his-name does in The Professional.
I need to know what those drugs were. I'll look it up.
Sydney runs off. She hides in a closet. She calls them, uses her little ghost facey voice. Stu is actively dying.
Yeah.
Or is he?
Well... The rumors are true. He doesn't die at all in this movie, but we'll see.
Do you know where I am?
Yeah.
All he needs is a warm blanket.
I'm playing D&D right now.
He's playing D&D. So she comes out of the closet. She stabs Billy with an umbrella, the end of an umbrella. Then she fights Stu, comes out. She shoves a TV on his face, electrocuted.
They used to be heavy.
Dies. But again, we don't know that for sure.
He movie dies.
We don't know.
Didn't shoot him in the head.
She doesn't shoot him in the head, but you know who she does shoot in the head?
Not in my movie.
She shoots Billy in the head, finally. And she says, not in my movie. And she survives, along with Randy, who was only shot in the shoulder, and Gail Weathers, who is not dead.
Who did not die.
Dewey, who also didn't die.
He gets stabbed in his shoulder
back.
Blade.
No, it's like dead center of his back.
Well, you see, because it happens a lot when police officers suffer back injuries. They get addicted to painkillers and then cocaine. And then they develop a limp, mm-hmm. as well as an accent that you can only hear in the third act.
In New Orleans?
Well, it's just a common thing with police officers. I don't know if it's just centralized in New Orleans.
Gotcha. This is Scream, Woodsboro,
Port of call.
Port of call. Okay, so fun facts. The use of caller ID increased more than threefold after the release of this film.
I would hope.
Drew Barrymore shot all of her scenes in the first 5 days of production, and she also insisted on shooting all of her scenes barefoot because her part in the movie was brief and she doesn't like wearing shoes.
I don't like her to wear shoes either.
Guido's just sitting over there like,
let me look at them toes. What do them corn niblet toes look like?
Okay, so most of the rest of mine are people who turned down or were originally considered. Would we like to do some guessing?
96.
Okay, I'll give you the first one, which is only because Kevin Williamson had an affinity for this actress, but being a favorite of screenwriter Kevin Williamson, Molly Ringwald was offered the role of Sydney Prescott, but turned it down, saying she'd rather not be playing a high school student at the age of 27.
Yeah, agreed.
Thank you, Molly Ringwald.
All right, would we like to guess who else turned down the role of Sydney Prescott?
Katie Holmes.
No.
Uma Thurman.
Nope.
Rhea Perlman.
Yes.
Rachel.
No, not Rachel.
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Reese Witherspoon.
Hey.
Reese Witherspoon took on the role of Sidney Prescott. Some other people, Leonardo DiCaprio and Holly Marie Combs from Charmed, screen tested together for the roles of Billy Loomis and Sidney Prescott.
I was about to say, he auditioned for Sidney?
Yes, he did. Would you like to guess another rat-faced, greasy-haired actor who turned down the role of Billy Loomis? Not Josh Hartnett.
Yeah, greasy rat fuck, Matt. What do you got?
Charlie Sheen.
No. Joaquin Phoenix turned down the role of Billy Loomis.
You said rat face, not hair lip.
Oh my God. We're going to get canceled for being unkind to the
disabled. Seth Green auditioned for the role of Randy.
They're pretty much interchangeable.
Elizabeth Berkley auditioned for the role of Gail Weathers, but was immediately turned down due to the backlash she received for Showgirls.
Aw, that's bullshit.
Poor Elizabeth Berkley.
She was great in that.
And Brooke Shields was nearly cast as Gail Weathers after Janine Garofalo turned the role down.
Somebody should lock that woman
up. Why is casting?
That's so weird. You're the casting director and you're like, oh, guys.
Ping-ponging.
Guys, I'm real sorry. We got turned down by Janine Garofalo.
It would have been such a different
You know who we need? Brooke Shields.
The casting director said you were looking for Chex Notes girls.
I don't think Alicia Silverstone would have been good for Sydney.
No.
Tatum.
You think she'd be the best friend?
She'd be the best friend.
You know who I think would have been great as Gail Weathers?
Danny DeVito?
No.
Who?
Kathy Bates.
Oh.
Kathy's Bates.
Wow.
Could you imagine her hitting on David Arquette?
Yes. And he would have been like, yeah. She probably could, like, hobble somebody in that movie. Mm-hmm. She knows how to defend herself.
The reason why she probably didn't get the part, because there's no way anyone would believe that Neve Campbell could
she
get
She just
Kathy
hates long
Bates.
Legs.
Mm.
Well, pass, fail. Tammy?
Pass.
Love.
It was a nostalgia in a
nostalgia
one hour
bomb.
And 30-minute movie. It was great. It just made me like the franchise again. Like, not that I didn't like the other movie that we watched, but it was like, man, this is good. This is where it came from.
It is. Matt?
Yeah, I'll still pass it. I hate what it's
done. But the Fonz!
I hate what it's done. I hate that it's been like, hey, you know, let's become the thing that we're making fun of, but we'll still keep making fun of it, and we'll make 17 more of these pieces of shit.
So do you hate that it invented meta, basically, or just that
it
you hate...
It didn't invent meta. Meta was always around before this.
Oh, because of Last Action Hero?
Bingo.
Gotcha.
This was good, okay? And then they just had to ruin it by making too much of it.
See, you say that, but like most of the Scream movies, like, wildly spaced out, to be honest with you. Like, the first
but they keep making them.
I understand they keep making them, but like, between 3, waiting till 4 was like a decade, and then we waited another decade between 4 and 5. Like, 7
it's
of these
the
movies in 30 years is actually not that bad.
It's just my opinion.
I know. Guido?
Yeah, I mean, they've shown that it's just fun to terrorize these characters.
Yes.
What do they call her? Tater for short?
Tater? Tater tits.
This movie was romp. It was a romp.
It's a romp?
It's a romp. It's fun. It's a fun story. You know, I like watching these girls get all scared. It's nice. And occasionally murdered brutally. That's awesome to watch. You had me at Rose McGowan.
Yes.
So, no, I pass the movie.
She looks great.
I pass the movie. I like how it doesn't take itself seriously, because it would be unbearable if it was the other way. So, you know, in a way it needs to.
Yeah.
You can't overlook how this movie just, it's a fucking mess in the end. It's a mess. They're poking each other with knives.
It is a little wild.
They're making every saving throw. That's a reference. And like, but it's a fun movie, and I will watch it again. And I like how 1996 movies make me nostalgia bombs.
Can I ask you one more question before we end? Which haircut upsets you more, Skeet Ulrich or Josh Hartnett's in pretty much any movie he did in the 90s?
Josh Hartnett.
Josh. Oh.
I hate his stupid fucking head.
No, at least he could wash his hair.
I had no problem. Look, I had.
Why does he sleep on the pillow the same way every night?
I had like, no problem.
Cowlick asshole.
And dirty and like in his eyes.
It's a fucking dumbass.
I had no problem with Skeet's grungy, dirty version of Gavin Rossdale. It's his face that I
couldn't
stand.
Gavin Rossdale, yeah. else.
It's got Ben Stiller's jism in his hairs from Something About Mary. That's that preload, you know what I mean? Hanging from his ear.
All right, well, we will continue next week for Drew Barry, or Give Me Barrymore Month, with another movie where she's barely in it. Matt, quid pro quo.
Yes, I'm about to just realize all the shit I just said is going to come back and bite me in the ass.
I don't hold things against you. My movie is
the third installment in a franchise of itself. My movie came out in 1995. It was directed by Joel Schumacher, and it's starring Val Kilmer, Nicole Kidman, Tommy Lee Jones, Jim Carrey, and of course our titular theme month character, Drew Barrymore. My movie is Batman Forever.
Titular.
Does she get a credit in that movie?
She does.
And where can people watch the third installment of your franchise?
You can watch it on HBO Max.
Wonderful. We are at Quad Pro Quo Pod across Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Letterboxd. You can suggest a theme month, like our good friend Angie did, which we will be doing for June.
The month of June.
Yes.
Month of June.
On social media or our website. And please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next week, thank you for listening.
Bye.
Hey, you want to go play D&D? I'm going to be a wizard this month.
I was hoping you would say bye like Drew would.
Nerds.
Bye.
Next
time. Bye. Next.